This is God's holy law from Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We are going to consider the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ as he describes it in the first reading of a scripture reading for this morning, Matthew 11, verse 25 through 30. And then our second reading is a demonstration of that meek and lowly heart of the Savior in John 13, 1 through 22. In that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Father but the Son, but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, O ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Second reading is John 13, 1 through 22, where we see the heart of Christ on display, also a solemn and searching passage. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. At supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he come from God and went to God, he riseth from the supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know there hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is no greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me, and he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Let us come before the Lord in prayer. We have a few things that we hope to remember in prayer. The pastor hopes to come home today, for which we are thankful, and we can give praise that the surgery went well. We also would like to remember Gary Avering's sister in the Netherlands who passed to, or Gary and his family rather, because his sister in the Netherlands passed away at the age of 70, and the funeral hopes to be tomorrow. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we are called to prepare our hearts for the upcoming Lord's Supper, Lord willing, next week. And there are different ways in which we prepare our hearts. It's good if we listen to the invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ when he says, Come, for all things are ready for the supper. When we think about those words, for instance, and the invitation that comes is that from his side, as we heard last week about the covenant, from his side all things are ready. And how good it is to focus our mind on an invitation like that. And from our text, we hope to hear an invitation like that. It's good to focus on the gospel and the promises of the gospel and his suffering in the place of guilty and hell-worthy sinners, wretched sinners such as we are. And it's certainly right that we do so, and we pray that that would also be part of this message this morning, that we find hope and strength in the promises of the Lord. But it is also right to examine ourselves, in light of the Holy Supper. It is a holy table in which the Lord desires to meet with his people. And we hope that all these things are elements from this message, we trust. But we want to also peer for a moment into the heart of the beautiful and glorious Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we might find rest for our souls that can be burdened and be heavy laden, that we might see something of the beauty of his heart this morning, and that we might see something of his graciousness, And that as a result, when we see the beauty of his heart, the graciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, that our hearts would be purified by that bittersweet medicine of repentance, that it might flow, and that we might be comforted and strengthened and build up as nothing else when we see the beauty of the Savior and when we desire to be changed into his image. So for our text this morning, we focus on the words of Matthew 11, verse 29. These words particularly, "For I am meek and lowly in heart." So our theme this morning is the heart of the Savior. First of all, we are going to consider the heart, and then we consider the second passage that we read, the experience of his heart, how the disciples, that first Lord's Supper, experienced his heart. And then thirdly, we have some applications as we prepare for the Lord's Supper, as we think about the third thing here, that we also may prepare our hearts. Preparing our hearts is the third thought. First of all then, consider his heart. We sometimes, children, use the expression, the heart of the matter. The heart of the matter. That is something that is most important. That's the heart of the matter. Now, when we want to consider who Christ is, we are going to look at his heart. Not at the heart of the matter. It is the heart of the matter of the gospel. But at his glorious person, who he is, what he has done. And there's only one verse in all of the four Gospels that tells us directly what his heart is like, the heart of the Savior. And this verse, as it were, opens to us this morning the glorious heart of our Savior. And well, when we look around in this world, there's a restlessness. We look at leaders and there is much which is unlike the Lord Jesus Christ, unfortunately. We look often up to leaders that are strong and mighty, a real leader. But this Jesus Christ is so precious because he came to do only one thing, and that is the will of his Father. And yes, he was a mighty leader, and he was certainly not weak. But he says about his own heart, this: I am meek, I'm lowly in heart. Oh, that we this morning might experience something of that heart of Jesus Christ. What a beautiful heart it is. It's the core of his being. The core of his being is meek and lowly. And he's not just a normal human being. We know that. He was human like us. But he is God himself as well. What does that say about God? When he says, my heart is meek and lowly, doesn't that say something about our God? Now, when we say that he's meek and lowly, doesn't mean that he has no wrath over sin. He has. He has. He is just and he's holy. Doesn't mean that he never rebuked sin. He did. It doesn't mean that he never talked about hell. He did. He did. And the reality of hell, when you look in this chapter, Matthew 11, that is, in verses 20 through 24, he talks about Chorazin and Bethsaida. They were exalted into heaven, and they had seen his glory, that had seen his heart on display, his glorious, humble heart. He had preached among them, and they had often heard his voice, and he had healed among them. But that those cities, Jesus rebukes with woes because they had not received his word. And he has strong woes for them, for the unrepentant and unbelieving. That's Jesus too. Judgment must come upon those also here this morning who continue in unrepentance. And there are strong warnings in those verses, in those few verses. But just a few verses later, he speaks then about his glorious heart towards those who are needy, toward those who are humbled and burdened. And he says, I am meek and I am lowly in heart. And he says just before that also in verse 25, when he prays with thankfulness to his Father, he says, this is what God reveals to babes, to the little children, to the little children spiritually who have learned to bow before him, who see their nothingness, who see their great need for dependence upon the Lord. And not to those whom he says are wise and understanding, those who think have it all together. No, God comes, the Father reveals it to those who are babes, children in grace, learning, dependent. Those who have nothing this morning, who say, I know it, Lord, I look in my heart, the only thing I can offer is sin. Is there someone like that here this morning? And to those, the Lord Jesus says, come to me, learn of me, and learn especially this, I'm meek and lowly. In this world, it is all about young people, about strong and prosperous, mighty, wise. But Jesus shows, in my kingdom, it's different. It's different. It's about the little children. It's about those to whom God reveals the mysteries of this kingdom. He says, as it were, I thank God that it's different. This is a different kingdom than the whole world around us. Look at the world. It's restless. It's looking for more. It's looking for greater. It's looking for bigger. It's looking at how can I get ahead. And it's restless. It doesn't find peace. Maybe there are some who are still in this restlessness. Oh, that you would hear and look in the heart of Jesus Christ this morning. Because it is true what Augustine said, is it not? Restless is the heart until it finds rest with God. Or put it in the Old Testament language of Isaiah, in returning and rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. We only find rest when we see his heart, when we return to him. Return to him, how? That means in repentance, in that beautiful, bittersweet medicine of repentance that brings us salvation. Not that the repentance is anything, but when God draws us to himself and shows his heart, we cannot but repent. And we cannot but trust in him. We cannot but return to him. And so, as we prepare our hearts, may that be our portion. Returning, resting, trusting, and find quietness for our heart. Now, what does it mean when Jesus says to us, I am meek and lowly in heart? Well, let's focus on meek for a moment. What is it, children? Do you know what meek is? It means that he is gentle. Gentle. Gentle in heart. He's not demanding, not austere. He is God himself, yes, but that doesn't mean that he is high in his own estimation. No. Gentle. He's not harsh. He's not reactionary. He's not easily frustrated. When he was angry, he was righteously angry. Think about that. Jesus Christ is the most understanding person that ever walked on this earth. His heart was modest. His heart was simple. One focus. The glory of the Father and the welfare of wretched sinners. That was his focus. Listen to his invitation. Come unto me and find rest for your soul. Comes for those who are laboring, and are heavy laden. Is there someone today who is laboring in some way? Maybe you are carrying burdens that you try to carry in your own strength. Laboring to get your life at the rails, perhaps, or keep up. Maybe young people keep up with everyone and everything around you. Or trying to fit in, that's laboring, actually. Trying to please others is laboring too. Or maybe someone is laboring because have not understand the gospel correctly, and so is trying to work your way to the Lord. That's laboring. Laboring. Or heavy laden. What does that mean? Is there someone who is heavy laden who says, my lifeboat is like filled up, too full, I'm about to sink? That's the idea, heavy laden, too full. Maybe there's someone who says, it seems things in my life are out of control, difficulties, circumstances, crosses, burdens. Maybe burdened for others, maybe burdened by others. Listen to Christ's invitation. Come unto me. And I will give you rest. I'm meek and lowly in heart. That means I'm approachable. I'm approachable. Just as that high priest who could sympathize with those who are out of the way. As if he stands before you, as he gently opens wide his arms. And says, come unto me and I will give you rest. Rest for your heart, for your soul, for the core of your being. Why can he do that? Well, he understands what life is all about. He walked this earth. And even now, when he is in heaven, seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, do we realize he still has his human nature? So this text is still true about him. I'm meek and lowly. He's able to unburden you from what is you pressing you down. And the problem that we have by nature, I don't know about you. I know myself a little, just a little. That we are not so gentle. That we not so humble and lowly. And that's, beloved, what makes life difficult. That makes life difficult. But here, we hear. Christ is able to deliver us from our sins. Christ is able to teach us. How precious that Christ is meek. Now let's look at lowly for a moment, because he also says that he is lowly. This word means he is humble. He's not lifted up. You can say humble in the sense sometimes it was used to refer to those people who had a lowly stage in society, and that was true about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was poor for our sake so that he can make many rich. But this, in this text, it means especially his attitude. His attitude. Lowly in attitude. He could have come as the glorious, consuming, and fiery king, seated upon a glorious throne, influential, looking down, and having his will be done. But no, that's not what he chose to do. Even when he rode into Jerusalem, how did he come? On a lowly donkey. He's not that austere king. No, he is the lowly savior. It's not the one who says, you need to jump this hoop and that hoop and that hoop. And then, no, no. He's humble. He came from heaven and humbled himself, became a servant, even to the point of death, even to the point of taking up his cross, even to the point of sacrifice. That's what humility is all about. It's about sacrifice. Sacrifice in his life to bless others. Every second that he had breath, he did so. It's humility that wants others to prosper, wants to see others do well, even when it costs us. It's humility who does that without murmuring and complaining and resentment. That is Christ's heart. Oh, that we have a look in his heart for a moment. And that we consider his heart. What a beautiful heart. What a glorious heart. Maybe you say, what a heart unlike mine. It's almost too good to be true. Too difficult to believe, maybe, for some. That we can come to him burdened. Burdened by our sins and having nothing to pay. Nothing to pay. Nothing to pay him back either. Nothing to boast in. No tears, no good works, no prayers, nothing to be proud of. We can only say, Lord, I have sinned. I have a backsliding heart. I desperately need grace. I need forgiveness. I need peace. Come, Christ says. Come, I can teach you. Look into my heart for a moment. Come, I'm gentle. You can approach me. Even when you are ashamed of your sin, you can approach me. Come, don't be afraid. I'm humble. I won't look down upon you. Do we know his heart as such? Have we experienced that? Isn't that glorious? Isn't that the way we find rest for our soul in a restless world which always wants to keep up with the latest and the newest, and you have to fit in and you need to prove yourself and all that stuff? No, 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 rest. Rest for your soul in the heart of Jesus Christ. We are going to look a little deeper into his heart for a moment as we also examine our hearts in the light of the passage, the second passage that we read in our second thought, experience his heart. Because as Christ came closer to his sufferings, the more the truth about his meek and lowly heart was also on display there. You could see it. Children, we read together about that first Lord's Supper, didn't we? We did that for a reason. It first starts with a beautiful verse. He loved his own and he loved them to the very end. His love doesn't change. Theirs does. Ours does. But this is an amazing passage when you think about it. Do you understand that Christ was willing to put up with Peter? He knew he would deny him. And he knew, and he had so much to learn. He thought so highly of himself often. Do we understand that Christ, this Savior, allowed Judas to be close to him? And he knew he would betray him. He knew he would love money and honor and possessions and position more than him. Do we understand that Christ puts up with disciples who says, I'm exempt from picking up that towel and that basin and wash other people's feet? Do we understand? Then he comes to Peter and he wants to wash his feet, and Peter starts talking about all kinds of things, and he wants a special treatment, this first and that. And Jesus needs to tell Peter, just your feet. Just your feet. This shows the heart of someone, of the Savior, who is meek and lowly. Here the disciples of Christ experience what it means that he is meek and lowly in heart, and that he is willing to stoop all the way down to the washing of dirty feet. Are there some dirty hearts here? Jesus can wash your heart. And when he washes your heart, it is all the way clean. It's all the way clean. But also the astonishing meekness of the Savior, beloved. Think about it. Think about Judas. He often spoke about, verily, verily, I say unto you, one shall betray me. Here we see something of his meekness too. Jesus was troubled in spirit, it says, about that. Troubled in spirit. McShane wondered, why would Jesus speak so often about the one who would betray him? And then he gives the answer. He says this. It was to soften his heart. So what we see here, even for Judas, he seeks the welfare for the unconverted person. It's as if he wanted to say, McShane says, I know you, Judas. I know what you will do. But also, here we see something of loving concern for Judas. It's as if he says, again I quote McShane, I have left the Father's bosom for sinners like you. I pity you. I'm still willing to be your Savior. It is as if he is reaching out a hand still to Judas. Doesn't this show something of the meekness of his heart, the glory of the heart of this Savior? That he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but in that they repent and return and come to him? What a glorious Savior. Does it not demonstrate his heart for the greatest of sinners? Doesn't it show us this morning something of what this text says, I am meek and lowly in heart? Even seeking to draw Judas? If only he would have fallen down and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm meek and lowly of heart. We are preparing for another Lord's Supper. Maybe there is someone here who asked the question, Lord, is it I? Is it I? As soon as you hear about these things, it comes up in your heart. It's a real question for God's people often. We can often struggle deeply with those questions. Maybe you have struggled with it recently or in the past. And perhaps there is someone who's, every time the Lord's Supper comes around, that's the question. Lord, is it I? It's a real question. Why is it such a question also for God's people? Because all the disciples asked that question. It's because God's people, as no one else, knows something of what is in here, in our hearts. And we say, Lord, if thou wouldst mark iniquity, who shall stand? Not me. Not me. So, beloved, that's the right question to ask. But that's not the only question to ask in preparation for the Lord's Supper. Allow this question to humble ourselves, but don't allow it to bring us to despair and doubt. Let it drive us to the Savior who says, I am meek and lowly, and you can find rest with me. Come unto me, all ye that are laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come when you're burdened with the weight of your sin. Come when you're troubled, when you feel you're backslidden and walked far from the Lord. Come. Come when you feel that you don't know enough about your sin. He can reveal to you. Come to Him. Come to Christ to find rest and forgiveness. In returning and rest, you will be saved. In quietness and confidence, you will find true spiritual strength. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly. Humble yourself. Humble yourself as you look into His heart. Humble yourself. His heart beats with love for sinners. Love that is patient. Love that endures to the end for those who trust in Him. Look at the Savior as He stoops down and shows His lowliness. It's a picture of what He was going to do soon. He had already laid down His garments when He came from heaven, a glorious place of glory and majesty as a King of Kings. He laid down His garments and became a man like us, sin accepted. And watch then as He comes. What does He come to do? To do the work of a slave. Because He's meek and lowly in heart. The work of a slave. Going to the cross. Even the death of the cross. Taking the lowest of the lowest place. Bearing the curse. Isn't that a picture of what we see here in the foot washing? Doesn't it demonstrate our text? I'm meek and lowly in heart. But oh, come with me to the garden for a moment. An experience. You see Him there wrestle in the garden. What do we see? We see a heart that is meek and lowly. Father, if it be possible, let this cup of suffering pass from me. Father, not my will, but thine be done. He forgoes his own desires. Why? in order to bless sinners who often go for their own desires. Learn of me that I am meek and lowly in heart. What are the things that you and I are struggling with currently? What are the things that you struggle in light with in light of the upcoming Lord's Supper, perhaps? Do you seek rest for your soul and learn of the Savior? Surrender yourself in His hands and say, Lord, take my heart, take my life, take my will. Not my will, Lord, but thine be done. There he is in the garden. Look how he wrestles. Is there no one to help him, children? He's there alone. Aren't there others who can help him? Look at the disciples. Their eyes are heavy. Their hearts are confused. Sleeping. I'm meek and lowly. And I came to do that work on my own. No one can save except Jesus. It comes at the expense of his own life. He seeks to bless others because he's meek and lowly in heart. Oh, beloved, don't we find ourselves much more like the disciples, unable to watch an hour with the Savior, spiritual drowsy often? Oh, let us awake. Let us awake. Unable to deny ourselves the comforts of this world, the world that makes us so restless, doesn't it? And we want to live for our comforts. It might bring us some physical rest, but this world never brings us spiritual rest. Oh, come, look to the Lord Jesus. Find rest for your soul. Find true heart satisfaction in Him. Don't we see ourselves when we think how often we are unable to take the towel and serve others? I guess you're doing a much better job than I do, but how often we are so self-focused, so busy with ourselves, the restlessness of the world in our heart. We hear a voice, it's the Savior's voice, and it says to us this morning, learn of me. Come to me. I will give you rest. Experience the rest of my heart for a moment. Now, that doesn't mean that your life is going to be easy going. You will have struggles. You will have a burden. But when you find rest with me, then that burden will be light and easy comparatively to the burden of sin and the burden of guilt and the burden of the world and the burden of restlessness. When you learn from me to say, like me, not my will be done, but thine, O Lord. He had to wrestle alone because salvation is of the Lord. What a comfort. Doesn't come by our efforts. Doesn't come through our humble heart. Though He makes our heart humble. Salvation doesn't come because we are such good people. He wrestled. Isaiah says he trod the winepress alone. There he is in the Garden of Olives, where olives used to be pressed, children. You know what is pressed there? in this garden where he is to wrestle. This meek and lowly heart is pressed. Blood and sweat come out of him. It's crushed. And there are a load of sin that only he is able to bear away. It's the pride of our heart. If we are in him, that's what he did for us. Or if we learn to look to him, maybe for the first time today. And from that heart, beloved, flows the oil. Can I say it like that today? What is the oil? I'm meek and lowly of heart. Father, not my will be done, but thine. Come with me to one more place where we see his heart on display. Let's stand at the cross for a moment together. There he hangs on that cross. Children, what do you hear him say? Did you hear that correctly? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Is that what he says? Really? Why could he say that? Because of our text. Learn of me that I am meek and lowly of heart. Forgiving. They don't know what they do. Another, I hear him say something else to Mary and to John. What does he say to Mary and John, children, at the cross? Woman, behold thy son. And to the disciple he said, behold your mother. And the disciple takes her in his home. How in the world, we would say, in such deep pain and such deep agony, bearing the wrath of God, in such a cursed death on the cross, and then still to focus on others. What a Savior. What a heart he has. Even at the point of dying. Learn of me that I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Shouldn't we say this morning, yes, Lord, my restlessness is only because so often I set my heart on what I want. Our own prosperity. That's because of our desperate fall in Adam, is it not? We don't have such a meek and lowly heart by nature. And after grace, we can still struggle with that same sin of a heart that doesn't want to bow. It's a struggle. But look at him and find rest this morning. He was not rebellious. Oh, that when you look into his heart, that you would be made receptive by the gospel of grace for the beauty. This is beautiful. It's so unlike what we see all around us. It's from a different world. Yes, it comes from heaven. He came from heaven and laid down his glory in order to be a servant. What a glorious Savior. We're going to look at our third thought as we prepare our hearts in light of his heart. As we prepare our hearts, there's two questions that we need to ask ourselves in light of our text. In order to be fruitful in partaking of the Lord's Supper, this is the most important question. Have you personally found rest? Rest in the meek and lowly heart of our Savior. That's the most important question. Rest for your soul, where you know He's taken away my sin. He doesn't count my sin and rebellion and my backsliding against me anymore. I need Him. I desperately need Him. And by grace, you're one of those children, those babes in grace, not those wise and prudent in their own eyes. But you have come and found rest when you repent of your sin and you lay your heart bare before the Lord. And you say, Lord, I can't fix it. And my life, Lord, without Thy grace, it will be forever lost and restless. But you see at the cross, you see at the garden, you see at the open tomb, you see in His heart, you look into His heart for a moment and you see His humility. You see that He welcomes sinners and eats with them. Sinners. No merits of our own. Nothing. And you trust His promise. Come unto me. I will give you rest. That's the first question. And the second question is this. Has it become your longing desire to have a heart like His? A heart like His. To follow in His footsteps, to deny yourself, to take up your cross, to stoop down, to wash the feet. Because He says in that passage, I've given you an example. Now do you likewise. He says, the servant is not greater than his master. You may know these things, he says, but it's his desire that we be doers of the word in all things like these. Can you see how the Lord is teaching you? How the Lord, through everything that happens in your life, is humbling you and teaching you to serve, to die to your own desires? Does He give opportunities for that? You know, that becomes precious to us. His heart becomes precious to us. And as He opens His heart and as His love flows into our hearts and His forgiveness flows into our heart, that's our desire. Lord, give me a heart like Jesus. Give me a mind like Jesus. Give me lips like Jesus. Give me ears like Jesus. Hands and feet like Jesus. A body like Jesus to serve and to surrender. Yield your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable. That's your reasonable service as thanksgiving for what He has done. Or maybe there's someone who still struggles and says, how do I know if I have found rest? Do I know Christ enough? Do I know my sin enough? Do I know this enough? It's not about enough. It's not about the strength of your faith either. It's about faith that looks to Jesus Christ and draws from him forgiveness, life, rest, mercy, and it flows to you. It's in his power that changes you. It's his perfection that changes you. It's his humble heart that changes your heart. And when that first Lord's Supper was there, there was no disciple who had perfect faith. None of them. They all were scattered and fled away. We know that. Very quickly after. But there were some who were closer than others. John leaned on the breast of the Lord Jesus. But none had perfect faith. Let me stress that for a moment. And none of them was sinless. The only one that was lost was the one who was unrepentant. Unrepentant. And it was not because the heart of the Lord Jesus was not loving and gracious. So may our hearts flow with repentance, with renewed trust this week as we prepare our hearts and seek him. Seek to know more of his heart. And let your sins humble you. Yes. And let his heart humble you. His humble heart humble you. If there is any difficult relationship that you know of in your life with brothers or sisters, seek peace this week. Humble yourself. If there are sins that need to be repented of, seek to have a humbled heart and focus on the heart of Christ. And the promise is you will find rest for your soul. So keep listening to this invitation. Throughout this week, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Learn of me, that I am meek and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Amen.